Hello, everyone, and welcome in once again to the Talking Puck Podcast. I'm Tom Callahan, joined by Mr. Mike Haynes. Find us on Twitter. I'm at Callahan on air. He's at BusterTheDog33. And we are on Sunday nights live on Twitch and YouTube, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Look for Talking Puck TV. All right, Mike, today's topic is an interesting one. You and I have both broadcasted in both the NHL and the AHL and other various minor leagues along the way. And I wanted to get into this one with you, and you broached this topic, and I think it's a good one. Evander Kane has been sent down to the American Hockey League. Matt Murray, two-time Stanley Cup winner, has been sent down to the American Hockey League. From time to time, guys struggle on the ice, off the ice. Maybe there's a problem with the player personally or professionally, or rehabbing an injury that might be taking longer, might be nagging a player, but for whatever reason, they get sent down. Star players have spent time in the minors for various issues along the way. You've seen it, I've seen it. What is your take on these guys when they come down? And I know everybody's different, but a guy coming down to the minors, it's an interesting thought, because right now, these two players specifically kind of have to rehab their image, one personally, one professionally, if they're going to make it back to the NHL.
You know what? You have to look at some distinctions. I've been around enough minor league teams where guys that were sent down to rehab themselves injury-wise, but they then can bring down a bad attitude, or they can bring down a good attitude. But what we're really talking about is guys that the team really doesn't want them anymore, but they're stuck with the contract. They got to put them somewhere while they're trying to make a deal. So they'll send them down to the minors. And I have seen that. I've seen it work out in various ways. I've seen guys come down. I'll give you a couple examples. I was with the Capital District Islanders, and I saw Tom Kervers. I remember he passed away fairly recently. He went into management with Arizona, with Minnesota. One of the most intelligent guys you ever be around in hockey. Now, he got into a contract dispute with the Islanders. They sent him down. He sat right behind me on a long 6-hour bus ride. And he didn't stop talking for 6 hours, told me, he filled me in on everything about contracts and the way that the NHL worked. It was so fascinating. He was such a great guy, and he was so good with the younger players and the way he carried himself. I got to see that. Another guy at the end of his career, I got to see Joel Quenneville finish his career in the minors down in Baltimore, and he was great with the young players. But I've also seen other guys who were horrible. I saw Doug Wickenheiser go down to the minors, and he didn't want to be there. He was miserable. He made everybody around him miserable. So, you know, it can go one or two ways. And you know what? If you're the NHL team, Tom, you want to be very careful. You're stuck with this guy. You're trying to figure out what to do, but you don't want him to go down there and become the bad apple that just taints the entire minor league team. It's so much better when a guy goes down there and has a great attitude. But boy, I'm interested to see how Kane certainly has a reputation. I don't know enough about Matt Murray to know how he's going to handle going down to the minors.
You know, and obviously we know goalies are different. It's very different. And, you know, you talk about, to me, the mindset of a guy that goes down. Are they going down with the idea that, and again, everybody's circumstance is different, but I look at Matt Murray. Matt Murray seems like a guy to me who, and this is what Ottawa should be telling him. Hey, man, get your head right. Get your physical game right. Work on this. And I don't get the sense Ottawa wants to move on necessarily from Murray. They want him to be better, you know? And so if he can, in his own head, say, I need to get this together and be better, he has a much more, I guess, certain path of returning to the NHL than Evander Kane. I look at Evander Kane. Kane seems to be lacking self-awareness of his issues. And that is not something you can teach with a skills coach. That is not something that you can send a guy to the American League, put him on the power play, and he's going to figure it out. I think Evander Kane's struggle is a much different one. And quite honestly, I said this on Sunday's show, if I'm an NHL team, I don't want any part of this, because there's no way at this point you're going to convince me he's changed because of the repetition of the behavior. You feel like it might have changed by now. Now, look, he might need to hit some particular kind of wall. I don't know if the AHL is it to really change behavior, look at himself and go, geez, if I really want to stay a professional athlete playing in the NHL, making an NHLer salary and all the privileges that are accorded thereof, maybe it's a wake-up call for him. But I just think certain guys you're not going to hold your breath on. I think Kane is a guy who's going to go down and pout and, you know, blame other. This is the thing, Mike. How many of these guys have we seen? And I can think of one right off the top of my head when I was in the ECHL. Players who blame everybody but themselves.
Oh, yeah.
It's always a coach's fault. It's always a scout's fault. We had a guy, Scott Kelman, first round, 15th overall pick for Arizona, and he was in the ECHL, and still a young guy, but in the ECHL with us in Augusta, and amazing hands, but everything was always someone else's fault. And he just, not me to work harder. That's not it. I'm talented. I'm skilled. I should be in the NHL. And I can't understand why I'm not. And never made it.
Right. Did you see guys, and I, depending on what team you were with, guys could come down. And I think some of it was whether the team was already close-knit and winning and doing well. Then it's up to the guy to try to fit in. But I think, but I've been on, been with those situations, but I've also been with situations where the team was just sort of, it wasn't playing well. There's a lot of divisiveness. And then you get a bad apple coming down. That's real trouble. So I don't know enough about the Barracudas or what Murray's situation is, whether or not, you know, those are good situations for them to be in. Do you know? Let's just look at the Barracudas. Do you know anything about them? What kind of team they are and how they're doing and how their coaching staff, that sort of thing. I haven't looked into it enough to tell you.
So the Barracuda are actually a team that they've had a lot of turnover in the last couple of years. So and I mean on the ice, because San Jose has kind of chewed through its prospects. It's graduated some of the, I guess, bigger names like Kevin LeBanc have gone up. And now so they're mixing in these new prospects. I actually kind of feel like looking at the Barracuda, this is a team that if they got a shot of veteran leadership or if they had some sort of influence like that, that would really help the San Jose farm system, which, to be quite honest with you, has not been the most successful in graduating its prospects. They've gotten better in the last year or two, but not consistently in a track record. You look back over 5-6 years. San Jose's not done the best job of graduating its prospects. So, in a way, sending Evander Kane down there actually makes me a little worried because this is a guy who, like I say, unless he has a change of heart and a change of mind, I don't see that that's going to benefit you in any way. Now, there's no real other choice. I think, in a way, the Sharks maybe hope they send him down. He doesn't report. They can suspend him. They don't pay him. They keep him away until they figure something out. I mean, I'd almost be, if I'm the Sharks, I'm hoping for that route. Okay, man, just go away. Don't show up. Don't report. We're going to suspend you. We don't pay you.
All right. Well, and I think sometimes the goaltender can be a little bit different, too, his situation. There, you're not necessarily playing every single day. You can almost be a little bit off on an island yourself just because of the nature of the position. And I sometimes that can be different. But then the other part of it is there's so much more of a spotlight on you. If, you know, that's just the nature as well of that position. So if you can almost as a player to a degree hide a little bit as to whether you're playing well or not. But as a goalie, Tom, boy, here it's evident pretty quickly whether you're playing well or not. And that's sometimes a little bit tougher All that being said, before we go, I'd love to hear a feel-good story. Do you recall somebody coming down from the NHL to a minor league team that you were with that came down and was positive, was played well, was a good influence on some of the younger players?
You know, isn't it funny how it kind of the bad ones stick out a little bit more?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's more fun to talk about, sure.
Yeah, and there are those guys who go through that. And, you know, it's funny, a lot of the stories I think of guys having success going up are of the younger guys who put in the time, put in the work, and then you see them graduate and find some time in the NHL, and the ones who work hard on it. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, especially in the case of a goaltender. When I was with Peoria, the 07-08 season, they were yo-yoing goaltenders back and forth. They used, Mike, I'm not kidding, it was 5 or 6 goalies that year, and it might have been 7. And it just, it wasn't really good for anyone's confidence. So I would see them bring a guy in, send a guy out, bounce a guy around. And then in one goaltender's case, I don't think he ever really did much in the NHL, but Jason Bekashua, they sent him to Cleveland. He played way better once he got there. You know, he got out of that that churn and burn type of system. And so I think that was a good one for him. A lot of times when you get a guy down just to come down and play a game or two, on a rehab assignment, that's different. But as far as somebody who is down there long term to kind of get their head straight, I know there are those stories of guys who worked it out in the minors. I can't think of one I've personally seen off the top of my head, which is actually a little sad in 15, 20 years of hockey.
Yeah, you're probably right in saying that there's more stories, or we were part of more stories of a guy, whether he went at odds with the coach or his playing ability just went downhill and just came down to the minors and never got another chance. And some guys handled it better than others. But the hardest ones, and I'm glad you brought up, it was his name, Kelman, that you brought up?
Yeah, Scott Kelman.
I saw a number of guys from the Islanders, from Brad Delgarno, Dave Chizowski, guys who were I think Kevin Cheveldayoff, guys who were first round picks who it didn't work in the NHL and would come down to the minors. And some guys, I mean, Delgarno was the guy, Joey Koser, ruined his face.
Oh, yeah.
One punch, ruined his whole career. Dave Chizowski was he number one? He at least was in the top three. He might have been a second overall pick by the Islanders. And, he was a great player, but in the minors, but just couldn't quite get there. And those were always, you know, those are the guys when you're a first round pick, they want you to work out. They've, you know, scouts do, general manager does. They don't want to miss on a first round pick, and they're going to get as many chances as you possibly can. And it was always sad to me when the realization finally hit that, those first round guys were not going to be NHLers, and to see some guys handle it okay, and then other guys, it just ate at them. They ate at them. They couldn't get it. They couldn't understand why they weren't there. Scott Sissons was another guy who was a first round. I don't know why the Islanders had so many bad first round picks, and I happened to be around in the minors when those guys would come down. But there was a plethora of those guys, and it just, I saw a whole range of emotions when those guys would come down the minors and realize they weren't going back.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'm actually thinking about the Coyote system when I was with Tucson here, and they had a lot of players who actually went on to either stick where they are or other places. Michael Bunting is doing much better in Toronto than he ever did in Arizona. Same with Connor Garland, who was tremendous in Arizona, but they all came up through the minors there. Dvorak is another player. He didn't want to be down. Didn't feel like he really needed to be there. You keep giving that guy a chance, right? Eventually, they traded Dylan Strome and a couple other guys. As a matter of fact, a lot of those guys from a couple years ago, they kind of moved on from now. And for whatever reason, if it's budgetary or hockey, but man, it's interesting to think about that stuff, too, as you watch players, the guys who just don't want to be there. It's almost, I used to get excited in my early career, Mike, when you knew you were getting a big name.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But now I realize that it's very rare that it's not a death knell for some of these guys, unless they're extremely young or extremely motivated, which is rare.
Mm-hmm.
It's just probably not, you're getting him for a reason, and it's not a good one.
Yeah. No, one of those guys I remember like that. I remember when Ray Ferraro came down to the minors for a handful of games. And I don't know why this stuff sticks with you. It's funny, the little things that stick with you. But I remember, so as you did, you normally would interview have a coach's interview, and then you would do a player's interview, right? Before every game when you're doing radio. And so I remember I did the coach's interview, who was Butch Goring. And then, of course, I want to get Ray Ferraro and interview him. And I just remember Butch just giving me a hard time in front of Ferraro, like, oh, of course you want to interview him. Oh, and I'm like, you know, why are you giving me a hard time when this is the obvious interview to do? I don't know why. I just remember that distinctive feeling of, why is he making me feel stupid for wanting to interview Ray Ferraro? Anyway, I don't know. That's just my little journey. Sorry, Tom.
That's all right. Maybe he was trying. Maybe Ray didn't really want to do it at the time, and he was trying to guilt you out of it. I don't know.
Maybe. That's, I don't know.
But Ray's too nice a guy to say no.
Yeah. No, he was a nice guy. He was.
So, well, you know what? I think this is a great topic, and one that I'm sure we'll revisit again. But you know what? Between now and Sunday's Talking Puck TV show, Mike, I'm going to try to come up with a success story of a guy that I remember working hard and figuring it out. So that'll be my homework for the week.
All right. I like it.
All right. Well, that'll do it for our Talking Puck podcast. I'm Tom Callahan, at Callahan on Air on Twitter. Mike Haynes, at Buster the Dog 33. Catch us on Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time with Talking Puck TV. It's on Twitch and YouTube. Just search Talking Puck TV. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.